All right, joining us now, we have on the phone Lieutenant Commander Adam Carrick. He is the number 8 events coordinator for your United States Navy Blue Angels Flight Demonstration Squadron. Lieutenant Commander, welcome to the Pensacola Morning News.
Hey, thanks a lot, Andrew. Glad to be here.
Absolutely. Great to have you. So I hate to start with the hard thing up front because there's so much good stuff to talk about with the Blue Angels, and I want to get to all of that. But I know the one thing that, especially since it's Friday today, it is the, you know, would have been the middle day of you guys performing over Pensacola Beach, you know, the day before the big air show, but basically the dress rehearsal. That decision to not fly over Pensacola Beach, very difficult one, I know. I'm sure it was heartbreaking for you guys to make it, but tell the folks, what were you guys thinking when you made that decision?
Yeah, well, first of all, this would have been our first air show of the season, and we were very much looking forward to flying for our home crowd. But, you know, being that it is our hometown, we were most concerned about the well-being of our citizens that live here. And with the current spike that we've seen in COVID, we just didn't feel it was safe for everyone to come out and gather and watch us. It was a tough decision, I can tell you that. Like I said, we were all looking forward to it, but we thought it was the best decision to make for the safety of Pensacola.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. And I know, you know, I know from talking to you guys over the years how much you look forward to the beach show, how hard it must have been to make that decision, especially after doing so many different things to try to make it a safe event. I know the one other question that I think a lot of people had here locally is, you know, our air show did not happen, but yet you were still able to fly over Rushmore and over DC. And, you know, I figured the answer to that is that those places didn't have the same kind of dangers and there was, you know, more likelihood that you could control the crowds and whatnot. But that's a question a lot of people have been asking me, and I wanted to give you a chance to kind of address that concern also.
Yeah, absolutely. So a couple things. When we went up to Mount Rushmore, we were kept on Ellsworth Air Force Base, and we only traveled out to do our official functions. So we were basically confined to that base. So that mitigated a lot of the risk for us. As far as D.C., we did fly over D.C. However, we did not land. So we went directly from Ellsworth via a KC-46 Air Force tanker, flew over D.C., and then flew directly home. So we didn't stop anywhere on the way. So those are kind of the mitigating steps that we took so we didn't expose ourselves or expose anyone else to us.
And I figure also part of the calculus there is these events were happening anyway, and so having you guys in the mix didn't necessarily change the risk factor, whereas here in Pensacola Beach, if you guys aren't doing it, it's a completely different equation from a safety perspective for the people on the ground.
Yeah, I would say that's correct. You know, we were also given orders to do these events. So, you know, we're in the military. We follow orders.
Well, that's the simple explanation, too. So you guys have had, I mean, in spite of it all, and I know it's been a difficult season for you, but in spite of it all, there have been some neat things happening. You've gotten to do these flyovers with America Strong. How much has that meant to the team this year?
It's been a tremendous amount to us. You know, a lot of us are from a lot of the towns that we flew over. So, like, personally, I got to fly in the Philadelphia and New York flyovers. I'm from Philadelphia, so it was especially meaningful to me to fly over, you know, Independence Hall, where the Declaration was signed, past the Liberty Bell. So these flyovers meant a whole lot to us, and it was really neat to be a part of those. The planning process of those flyovers, since the Air Force Thunderbirds were here for a whole 2 weeks. So we got to involve ourselves closely with one another, really develop good relationships between the two American jet teams. And we got to execute these things together. And it was really tremendous. The amount of work, the amount of planning, and the amount of professionalism that really went into making these flyovers great. So it meant a whole lot to both teams.
Yeah, it was very cool to see the Thunderbirds in town. Like, they had been here a couple of years ago, and to do that joint training, I don't think people understand how valuable that is, you know, to be able to learn from each other, even though they're Air Force and your Navy, to still be able to, you know, mix it up is a really good thing. I loved the double smoke breakout that you did over the White House. I thought that was a really particularly awesome moment in some of the recent flyovers that have been taking place. A lot of people don't realize how much of your show year is off the airstrip and off the airspace, visiting schools and hospitals and stuff like that. Have you been able to do anything like that this year? I mean, what's kind of been that outreach to the community component of your service this year?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. You know, our mission is to inspire the next generation of naval aviators and of Navy personnel. So we haven't been able to execute that mission as we normally would during the show season. You know, normally the Friday beforehand, before the air show, we would go out to high schools or have groups come to the air show, and we would give tours of the jets and speak to them about, you know, how to, you know, the next step in their life, whether it be the Navy or Marine Corps. But this year, because of COVID, we have done a lot of Zoom interviews and, you know, kind of remote interviews to fill that gap in our mission. So that's how we've been executing these visits. We've been doing them virtually.
Yeah, there's a lot of creativity going on in the world these days with people trying to figure out how do we do what we're supposed to do, including like you guys with your mission. How do we accomplish that, you know, without the normal way of doing it? One of the other things that is just kind of, you know, we've been waiting and waiting and hoping, and, you know, we all love Fat Albert so much. We love the plane. We love the crew. Of course, that's the primary Marine presence on the team as well. It feels like we're almost there. Like the team, I guess, was over in England looking at the new plane, getting the paint out. Where are we at with Fat Albert?
Yeah, you bet. Well, first, we do have another Marine on the team. Other than our maintenance, our folks that are both Navy and Marine, are enlisted, are both Navy and Marine. But our number three pilot, he's also a Marine. He's a former Harrier and F-35 a pilot. So we're happy to have him on board as a representative in the jet formation. But as far as Fat Albert, our three Marine pilots and a number of the Marine maintainers are actually over in England right now, doing check flights on our recently acquired C-130J. So the plan is to have them back sometime mid to late July. And hopefully by late August, we should have some sort of at least them flying to support any operations that we may be on.
Yeah, the logistics value of Fat Albert, again, one of those things, you know, most fans know Fat Albert from the flight demonstration and may not be as aware of the incredible importance of Fat Albert's logistical supply, which, of course, is the C-130's mission. But, you know, both as a fan of the air show and also as a supporter of the team, I'm so excited for us to finally have another Fat Albert that we can call our own. That's very exciting. I was looking a little bit at your bio. To me, you kind of fit the exact profile of the person you would think would become a Blue Angel, not just because of your pilot background, but things like, you know, you were an Eagle Scout, you know, fireman, you know, kind of like have done all this stuff. How has being on the Blue Angels, this is now your second year, I believe, how has being on the Blue Angels been the culmination of your sort of background and growing up and where you've been professionally?
Well, as a young man, I've always been a part of a team, whether it's sports, fire department, scouts, like you mentioned. This is no different. You're just in the spotlight a lot more. But there are other Eagle Scouts on the team. You know, I'm in good company here. Blue Angel number four and number three, like I was just talking about, they are both Eagle Scouts. And we have a number of Eagle Scouts that are on the enlisted side of the house, too. So those events, those milestones that I met in my life are very similar to the rest of the folks that are on this team as well. And I can just say that this is no different from any other team you've been on. We're all close. We all take care of each other, and we're all working towards a common goal of serving our country and inspiring the next generation. So it is a culmination in a way. But in a way, it's just another stepping stone because, you know, we're selected for this team because of our character, not because of the things we've necessarily done in our lives, you know, whether it be scouts or anything else. So, you know, it's just it's another step towards serving your country and being a good American citizen.
Well, I was, you know, one of the things that people may not know about you, you're the number eight, the events coordinator, and they might wonder, you know, well, is he a pilot? Oh, yeah. I mean, you're a naval flight officer, a backseater. So you flew on the Growler, you flew on the Prowler, you've flown missions overseas as part of several different operations. Is it different for you being in a role where you're not actually, you know, I mean, you are flying because you'll fly to and from the events and things, but you're not as involved in the daily flight operations like you would be normally?
Yeah, that's a good question, Andrew. But I kind of like being the guy behind the scenes, and I really enjoy my job because I get to cultivate relationships with the civilian side of the house. So I'm the primary representation of the team to the air shows that we go to. So I've developed, amazing friends in the air show industry that I never would have if I was a demonstration pilot. So I enjoy being behind the scenes and flying with Blue Angel number 7, Lieutenant Julius Bratton. You know, we fly all over the place together. And when we go do our winter visits in the winter before the show season, we are the Blue Angels to those folks. So we get to do a lot of neat stuff that the demo pilots don't necessarily see. But it is different. It's not the fleet. You know, everyone, as we say here, we come from the fleet and we go back to the fleet. You know, we don't stay a Blue Angel forever. Usually 2 or 3 years is the most we do.
Right.
So it is different. But man, it has been a great journey. And I've met a lot of outstanding Americans along the way.
The semi-difficult questions, and they may be questions that you can't answer just yet, because I know probably decisions haven't been made. But I got asked the other day whether I knew if the team, based on not having been able to do shows this year, is there a plan yet for whether the team is going to hold? Because typically during on Saturday, we would basically get the new team members for next year. Has that even been going on this week? Are you holding for next year? What's the personnel, if any decision has been made yet?
Yeah, we're still waiting on some decisions there, but there will be new team members next year.
Okay.
There'll be a few new team members. We're still working through how that whole process, that whole evolution is going to work out.
Okay.
But you will have new team members next year.
But that stuff hasn't been going on like it normally would have been going on this week. That hasn't been happening this week yet, right?
Yeah, that's correct. Okay. Yeah, the schedule has definitely shifted, but you will have a couple new team members next year.
And, you know, we were just talking about this on the air yesterday. I sincerely hope the answer is yes, and I know you may not be able to say yet, but is there a plan yet for the homecoming air show, given all the COVID and the security status of the base and all of that?
Well, I don't want to speak for the base, but as of right now, it's on.
Okay.
I don't really have any other details other than that. If it still remains a go, we will fly. So we're very much looking forward to it. And hopefully we can make it happen.
Oh, man, I certainly hope that is the case, because we love seeing you guys up in the air. Last question. We're talking to Lieutenant Commander Adam Carrick. He is the number 8, the events coordinator for the Blue Angels. I know you and I have met at least one time, but I forget. What is your call sign? Are you? I know you have one. What is your call sign?
Yeah, my call sign is TAG. It stands for Typical Academy Guy. I went to the Naval Academy, so my friends didn't want to let they wanted to make sure everyone knew that I went there.
Very good. Well, in the grand scheme of how people can get their call sign, that's about as non-bad as it can be, and that's a good thing, right?
Yeah, it's pretty benign, and chances are, if you hear a pretty normal call sign, there's probably something else behind it.
There's always
a good story.
Yeah, there's always a good story. All right, very good. Well, Lieutenant Commander, thank you so much for the time this morning. We really appreciate what you guys do. Again, I know it was hard to make the call not to do the show this year at the beach, but we know it was for all the right reasons, and we certainly look forward to the homecoming air show coming up this fall. Lieutenant Commander Adam Carrick, thank you for the time this morning, sir.
Thank you, Andrew. Have a good one.